Theoretically, the right to life is as American as apple pie. It's enshrined in our national birth certificate, the Declaration of Independence. But abortion, often touted in the name of choice, significantly undermines the right to life. Although the proponents call themselves pro-choice, study after study indicates that the majority of women who choose abortion actually felt compelled to seek the procedure. We're going to talk about this right now with Eric Scheidler, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Action League. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Eric, welcome back to the program. Thank you.
Great to be with you.
Sure. So how choiceful is pro-choice?
Well, I think we need to really start pushing back against this idea of, you know, the concept of choice, freedom of choice, right to choose, pro-choice. When someone tells me now that they're pro-choice, I say, I'm glad to hear that because everyone should have the right to choose to become a parent. And we get into the question of women having their right to motherhood taken away from them by those who are pushing abortion on them. And that covers everyone from, you know, the husband, the boyfriend, the father of the baby, to employers, to, you know, the school nurse, family members, all the way on up to the governors of states like J.B. Pritzker, who's pushing abortion on poor women in Illinois, this billionaire fat cat, you know, saying women should get abortions if they aren't able to, you know, provide them with a billionaire lifestyle. And we have even Joe Biden, the president of the United States, telling American women that abortion is the thing for them. And yet we have so many women who are getting legal abortions across the United States, some of them now traveling across state lines, some of them even getting illegal medication abortions ordered from, you know, from overseas. And yet we know that more than half of those women, maybe even as many as 70% of those women, distinctly do not want the abortions that are being pushed on them. And this is a research out of the Charlotte Lozier Institute, which is a great pro-life research arm of SBA Pro-Life America. And they have done some research showing that women are saying things like, yeah, I accepted this abortion, but it was inconsistent with my values and preferences. 43% of women getting abortions say that. 24% of women getting – that's almost a quarter – say that the abortion was unwanted or even coerced. Only about a third of women say their abortions were truly wanted. Almost two-thirds say they would have given birth if they had had more emotional support or more financial security. In many cases, almost anything, any kind of help at all would have made the difference for these women choosing life for their babies. I especially want to think about women who are getting abortions that are inconsistent with their own values. We know from ample data that the poorer you are, the more likely you are to be opposed to abortion, morally opposed to it. We know that only about 1 out of 10 affluent women who make over $100,000, $150,000 a year, only 1 out of 10 of them is pro-life in the way that, you know, that most of us Christians listening to this program are. But fully one.
So wait. Let's just clarify this. You're saying that the really, really wealthy people are absolutely pro-abortion, and generally the people who are poor tend to be pro-life in their value poor, system.
Yeah, one quarter of poor women are strongly pro-life, which tells you that, you know, the remainder of poor women are not nearly as aggressively pro-abortion as, you know, they're much wealthier, you know, compatriots. So that tells us that since we know poor women are more likely to get abortions because they're more likely to find themselves in that type of situation where they're, you know, they have an unplanned pregnancy, that tells us that an awful lot of women are getting abortions they don't even believe in. They think it's morally wrong, but for whatever reason, someone's pushing them or forcing them or coercing them in some way, putting pressure on them to get an abortion they don't really want and that they think is wrong, and that is going then to trouble their conscience going forward since they know it's wrong. So this is an area where I find that people agree with us. They don't want women to get abortions they don't want. We can use the concept of pro-choice to actually turn people against the extreme abortion license that prevails in so many of our states where, you know, there's very little help for pregnant women, for young families, for single moms, but all kinds of abortion made available to them, all kinds of pressure to go ahead and get an abortion rather than embrace motherhood, which so most women want to be mothers, and that includes poor women. There's nothing immoral about being poor. There's nothing disqualifying about being poor. And let's remember that our Savior himself grew up in a poor family in Palestine. So, you know, we cannot go around telling people that because they're economically disadvantaged, they don't have a right to become parents, to fulfill this fundamental human drive and desire.
So what are the kind of circumstances that then compel these women? For example, I mean, I know of situations, or I've heard of situations where, let's say, there is a pregnant teenager and basically her parents or her single mom or whatever are saying, look, you either have the abortion or you're out on the streets. I mean, in other words, they would kick them out of the house. Or same thing with a husband or a boyfriend. I guess that's probably even more common than all of them. You know, you will have this abortion or else, you know, you're on your own.
Right. I mean, economic insecurity is a big part of it. So if a woman is dependent on a man for her housing, she lives with him, or she's dependent on him for her health care because it's, a spouse or a significant other health care plan. That's going to be a tool he can use to coerce her to get an abortion. Sometimes it's threats of violence. We know that the number one cause of death amongst pregnant women is domestic violence. So there's violence being done against pregnant women. And we know that.
Do you think in a situation like that, in some cases, it's the man insists on her having an abortion and she doesn't want to, she refuses?
Sometimes it's even worse than that. It's that he's trying to cause a spontaneous abortion by beating her up. We've seen that again and again, where a woman has the crap beaten out of her because the guy's hoping to induce an abortion that way. So sometimes it's directly, you know, violence directed at killing the child right then and there. Other times it's, you know, pushing her, threatening her, trying to force her to get that abortion. But this is a very little examined question. Pro-life researchers are beginning to ask this question, but it hasn't been asked by secular sociologists. You know, what is the relationship between domestic violence and abortion? This is something we're just starting to take a closer look at. And it looks more and more like domestic violence is connected to abortion in a really ugly way that abortion advocates are going to have a hard time explaining away. When we start talking about, you know, what about your commitment to choice? Where is the choice when someone is threatening a woman with violence to get an abortion?
Okay, and the 70% statistic, what was that in reference to? Basically, 70% of women who have abortions would rather not?
It's nearly 70%. This is research done by the Charlotte Lozier Institute, in particular by a researcher named David Reardon from the Elliott Institute, and they've broken this down. And so overall, about a little under 70% of women say that the abortion was in some way inconsistent with their own values and their own preferences. And then that breaks down a little bit more. So about 43% of women say it was unwanted or coerced. Unwanted or coerced is in the 24% area. 43% say inconsistent with their values. And so we have different shades. I mean, sometimes.
And all of these things would be added up. In other words, the 23% right. plus the 43% plus, you know, et cetera.
That's right. We're adding up women who say someone threatened me and I absolutely did not want this abortion and it was forced on me, all the way up to women who said, yeah, I chose the abortion, but it wasn't really what I wanted because if only I'd have had, you know, anyone in my life who said, you know, honey, you can do this, or anyone in my life who would just, you know, help me with that next month's rent check or provide some, you know, guaranteed health care. Sometimes there is help. There's, you know, Medicaid assistance for moms who are struggling, you know, is assumed in many states. If you're pregnant, you get it. But they may not know that. So sometimes they're choosing abortions, not even knowing that there's more help than they realize. So that's another part of this.
And then around the corner maybe, or, you know, within close proximity may well be a crisis pregnancy center. And of course, those are being constantly harassed by the pro-abortion forces. Maybe because the pro-abortion forces are losing money because of these ministries and so forth. But, you know, they're out there trying to provide real choice, if you will.
Yeah, so a big part of our challenge is a pro-life movement. And I would encourage folks listening to this to do their part to spread the word about what help is available. There's a program from Susan B. Anthony List. They're a great pro-life group called Her Plan. And the Her Plan is a kind of a channel for finding out where help is available in all the different states. It's herplan.org. And if you're trying to help a woman, if you're running a pregnancy center or any kind of a charity or anything like that, you can go to this site and you can find out the ways to get your clients more help than they may even know is there. From private charities, from public services. So it could be everything from, you know, government programs to help young mothers like WIC or food stamps, to private charities that offer medical care, crisis pregnancy centers, pregnancy resource centers, and the like. So that's one of our challenges is to let women know about the help that's already there. But then a second challenge is to establish a right to motherhood. So this is something we're beginning to explore. Maybe we can push back against some of these ballot initiatives that we seem to be losing so frequently to wake up the American people to this reality of unwanted abortion.
You know, speaking of this, I saw a report, and I hope this can't be true, but it was saying that there are some conservative, supposedly, lawmakers in Missouri that are trying to put on a ballot that not only will abortion be illegal, but they will punish the mothers who choose abortions. And I thought, well, I mean, in this context today, where we're fighting to keep, you know, abortions up to the moment of birth, you know, as the apparently the voters in Ohio voted for that, whether they intended to or not, that seems to be the reality. How can you, you know, this is just crazy. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I think we have to be careful. When it comes to the way we talk about abortion in the public square, it's true that, you know, Ohio voters technically have allowed abortion up till birth. We also know that there's not a single abortionist in the state of Ohio, you know, who would do an abortion that late. And I think it was confusing for Ohio voters. They felt like they had to choose between any abortion or no abortion. They didn't realize it was more of an extreme measure that was before them.
So really a lot of this boils down to the semantics and the education and so forth. Do you think that abortion in general has in effect undermined just even the value of human life, even for those who are not directly touched by it? It's worsened the culture, the country, the family, etc.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the worst effects of abortion on our culture is that it changes parenthood from something that the entire society has an obligation to support every single time to something that people choose to do on their own. So you had that baby, instead of getting an abortion, it's your own personal private problem now. You know, we used to make every accommodation for pregnant moms. They are the first priority. We have to provide them with what they need. You know, women and children first, right? You know, that includes everything from, you know, making work accessible to mothers. So we have, you know, we have daycare available. We have places where a mother can nurse or where she can express milk for her baby. That's becoming harder to do now because the choice to have a baby, the choice to breastfeed, these are now your own private choices. Why should you impose them on the workplace now? So, you know, we've decoupled family from society's concern. You know, it used to be that society had an obligation to make sure that every child was cared for, every mother was supported.
We're basically out of time. This is amazing, though. I want to give your website, prolifeaction.org. And as the saying goes, Eric, as the family goes, so goes society. Thank you so much for being with us. All the best.
God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.